Welcome to Lower Wacker Live for September 18, 2019. I'm Justin Kaufman. This is the podcast that makes fun of the local news so you can sit at home and relax. So you're not on the hook. See, I'll be on the hook, right? I'll be on the hook. I'll make a joke about marijuana downtown, and you'll go, huh, I thought that, but I didn't have to say it. And then I'll take all the Twitter heat. I'll take all the Facebook heat. I'll take all the social justice warriors coming after me. I'll take that on for you. How about that? I'll be your Shane Gillis. Is it Gillen? Gillis? Whatever. I saw today, Pete. You this is a great story. I saw today in Variety that they said that he was hired to give a conservative to try and bring conservatives to Saturday Night Live, which I think is a sticky wicket. I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea to balance out political diversity. It's never a bad idea. But when you start hiring for that, I think that's weird. So did you hire Kate McKinnon because she was liberal? Did you hire Michael Che? You know what I mean? Like, you get to a certain point where you're like, wait, yes, the sensibilities of the cast and the more of it is very liberal. And obviously we know this because Donald Trump hates them. But the idea that you start hiring people because their political views are there, I don't know. I think you start getting into a weird moment that's not diversity. That's like engineering. If that makes sense. And I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Again, I think it's great to diversify political views. I have no problem. And obviously, this dude had said some nasty stuff in the past and has consequences for it. But yeah, I just don't know. If that's what they're doing. The question I have is how much pressure did NBC put on SNL? Is this Lorne Michaels, who's now 90, who's like, I want my taxes cut. And then he's changed his sensibilities. Right? He used to be like all lefty, like, oh yeah, stick it to the man. Now he's like, oh, they've been too much tax on my Hampton house. Is it that? Or is NBC like, you know, the president is a, you know, he's been really railing against us on Twitter. So is there any way you could get Jeff Foxworthy, like a young Jeff Foxworthy, a young Bill Engvall? Shane Gillis, the young Bill Engvall. All right. That's great. All right, let's get to the local headlines. We're done talking about SNL. Here are your headlines. Marijuana zones, not to be confused with auto zones. They're going to have zones where you can and cannot sell marijuana in Chicago. Chicago's going to be like Mars and Total Recall. Take me to the Quahog. Right? They go into that red light district where they turn the air off. It's going to be all people with three boobs. That's going to be it. Surprisingly, the mayor has prohibited dispensaries from opening up in the Central Business District. That's pretty much the Loop and Michigan Avenue. Critics are wondering why, both from a business standpoint, tourists buying gummies, and from a fairness standpoint. It's good enough to be legal, but bad enough to be prohibited? What? Alderman Riley wants the revenue, but the mayor wants it in the neighborhoods. I see it from both sides. It seems a bit shady to push to legalize marijuana and then say it shouldn't be sold in certain places, right? Because it makes it seem like they know something that we don't. It seems classist. On the other hand, have you been to San Francisco or Seattle lately? Marijuana isn't supposed to be smoked publicly, but tell that to the homeless and the gutter punks who have never met skunk weed that they did not like. Plumes of it all wafting around that Chick-fil-A on State Street as tourists try to go see Lyle Lovett at the Chicago Theater. I can see why you don't want dispensaries near that Water Tower Park. It's going to turn all Amsterdam real quick up in there. And it's obvious that the mayor doesn't want that. She wants her dainty, clean, quartz, white countertop legal weed. That you should try this before we go to the fancy small place restaurant weed. We're about to go see the light show at the Community College Planetarium legal weed. That's the legal weed they want. They don't want the other one. They don't want that, this is the fourth time I've lit up this joint weed. Right? And a point of clarification, can we just continue to use our old college roommate as our dealer? Is that possible? Sure, you have to stay and talk about things you don't have in common anymore and awkwardly talk to his new skater girlfriend, but still, seems more legit than what the city's doing here. Am I right? Don't worry, Kyle. No, don't worry, Zach. No, those dreads look good, buddy. They look good. All right. Alderman proposed banning the sale of all e-cigarettes in Chicago today at city council. What? So now you're going to be forced to go to Indiana for fireworks and e-cigarettes? I get it. Okay, e-cigarettes, vaping, the bad, but so are real cigarettes. But they're legal. So you just would ban e-cigarettes outright? Why, though? Because they're bad for people? So are cheeseburgers. Oh, how dare me. It's National Cheeseburger Day. How dare me. It just seems weird because I can understand going after companies for marketing to kids. The Sour Patch / Pirate's Booty flavor might be just a little too much. But to outright ban them when you haven't even banned cigarettes, alcohol, or anything else that's bad for you seems like an illogical jump. I don't smoke, and at the end of the day, I don't really care what happens, but banning e-cigs puts them in a rare category. Fireworks, throwing stars, Nazi paraphernalia, Four Loko. Is there anything else? Child porn? Like, what else is banned? But e-cigarettes doesn't seem to rise to that level.
All right.
Now it's time for Should I Click Through or Not? This from the trip today. The Jonas Brothers spotted at a Chicago barbecue joint, and they may be back. Oh, wow. All right, I guess I'm interested in what Chicago barbecue joint, but I know because we talked about it yesterday. It's Bub City. But they may be back? Did they get comment from the Jonas Brothers that they liked it and they may be back? Oh, God. Yes, I am going to click. Ah, that's right. It's just behind a paywall. This has been Should I Click Through or Not? I love it. And they may be back. Well, that's great. I'm glad that they like their barbecue chicken. In sports, both Chicago baseball teams took a big L last night. Ah, on the north side, the Cubs and my fantasy squad ran into the buzzsaw that is Sonny Gray. Gray dominated the Cubs, and the Reds stole a huge victory at Wrigley. Not as much a huge win, but really more of a huge loss. With only 11 games to play, the Cubs have to win out against lesser opponents because 7 of the final 11 are with the Cardinals, which is cool that the playoffs come early for the Cubs and for Cubs fans, right? 7 games and next 11, that's awesome. That's like, yeah, it's like a series. I'll take that, especially if you don't actually get the playoffs, right? Oh, man, the lack of Rizzo and Baez was on full display as Chris Bryant, Wilson Contreras, Hayward combined to go 0-12 last night. Yikes, 0-12. Schwarber continues to rake, but they're going to need more than that. Darvish struck out 13, but that shouldn't overshadow the fact that he gave up 4 runs at home to the Reds. I know that he got a standing ovation when he came out of the game last night for the 13 strikeouts. Are you kidding me? He gave up 3 runs in the first inning. I don't understand that. What's going on at Wrigley? Is this just one big schmooze fest? Like every corporation's got their seats, and it's just who's giving a standing ovation to you, Darvish, for giving up 4 runs in 7 innings? Is it me? I don't know. He had great stuff, but he also gave up 4 runs on a night that he needed to give up 1. That's how baseball works. To add insult to injury, the Brewers won, and now they're tied for the Cubs in the wild card. More insult, the Cardinals lost last night. Today, they rebounded and beat the Nationals. Same with the Nationals, who won last night, but they lost today. Oh, man, a win last night for the Cubs. This would have been so much easier to explain. Being like now, I don't even know which way is which. Cubs are on with the Reds tonight. John Lester on the mound. This is going to be interesting, right? John Lester has sucked it up in the last couple. And we talked about it, that he's due a clunker here and there at the end. He does every year. And this is like 3 or 4 of them in a row, man. Something's up. I guess the question for you, Pete, if they do get to the one-game playoff, who pitches?
Darvish.
Oh, man. Good luck with that. 3 runs in the first. It's going to be 3-0. Anthony Rendon going to be teeing off on that. Darvish, the reason I like you, Darvish, I always liked him from a fantasy baseball standpoint, but I will say this. The one thing that annoys me about him is that when pitchers have success because of their trickery, the you, Darvish, trickery is that he holds his leg up longer than everybody else. So when he goes to pitch, he's got a little bit longer, and it's supposed to throw off the timing of the batter. And I just feel like these are professional hitters, and they're like, eh. It's like when Ryan Dempsey used to flip his glove. I hated that. I hated it. I'm like, is that really your... Did that work at one point in your life? And you're like, oh, this is tricking them. Something's moving. They're like a bass in a river. And they're like, oh, it's a shiny thing. I'm going to eat it. Right? So you, Darvish's little trick where he does a leg kick and he holds it a little longer than everybody else. Yeah. And then, you know what? Masahiro Tanaka does that too from the Yankees. And it's like, that can work and they can have unbelievable games. Maybe that's a Japanese thing. Or they figure it out in the timing, and those guys give up 8-9 runs. And usually against a playoff team, they give up 8-9 runs. That's why Darvish hasn't had success. Or Tanaka. Tanaka's not had success in the playoffs either. The good teams go, I'll wait. That's it. All right, the White Sox. Man, the White Sox battled back after falling behind 5-0 early and forced extra innings against the Twins last night until Tim Anderson came up and hit one out of the park, and it was an awesome bat flip. He didn't even bat flip. He just kind of walked out of the batter's box. I hope they try to throw at him today. Because I love Tim Anderson. A winner, winner, chicken dinner, right? Nope. The Twins rallied and won on a walk-off hit by pitch. Yep, they scored two in the bottom of the 12th to beat the White Sox, who can't beat anybody these days. Anderson had an awesome game. 3-for-5, now leads the league in the chase for the batting title. He's hitting .336. And Abreu got another RBI, and now he's tied with Anthony Rendon for the most in baseball. But that was all wasted as the Sox implode, lose their fourth in a row. Their magic number, not to lose 90 games, is now 3. Oh, meaning they have to go 8-3 down the stretch to avoid that fate. Now, granted, they've got, I think, 8 games with the Tigers and 3 with the Indians left. So maybe, but still, 8-3. Dylan Covey goes tonight against the Twins in Minnesota. Twins broke a major league record by having 5 guys in their lineup hit over 30 home runs. Oh, my God. Come on. That, you know what that says? They're going to get bounced in the playoffs 3 games. Because no one hits home runs in the playoffs. In the playoffs, it becomes like pitcher's duel. You know, this guy Miguelson, no, he has had an unbelievable tear, but he is 0-for-30 in this series. It's like every time, right? That's how baseball works. Nobody actually hits, like, is on fire when it comes to October baseball. It's pitcher's game. Bears back at practice, ready to take on the Redskins on Monday Night Football. I feel gross even saying that, right? I thought we all decided that the name of that sports team was offensive to Native Americans, except those who don't care about Native Americans. Like, right? How did they win? How did that never change? Like, wasn't it 2 years ago that we said it's not acceptable? And then Daniel Snyder and what, the guys who put the little pig nose on the fans? No, I can't change it. This is the most important thing ever. And John Riggins is like, yeah. Mark Rippon? Like, who are they? Like, they're like, no, we can't change it. They got Dan Gibbs or Joe Gibbs. Hey, break, right? I just feel like what happened there? Like, they just took the foot off the neck, I guess. They could have switched the name. We'd have no problem right now, right? Saying that the Bears are getting ready to take on the Demons right now. Or the Bears are getting ready to take on the Washington Swamps. And the Washington Insiders. The Washington DCs. How great would that be? It's not bad. But instead, the tradition of being racist is just too much to change. Too much. Think of all the letterhead we'd have to change. So not only do they not change the game, but now they get rewarded with a Monday Night Football game at home. Or a team that's 0-2 and it's pretty lousy. I don't get it. I do like the Washington DCs, though. That would be great, right? They have a pitcher. They could do that like how Trump's plane looks. They can put an eagle on there. Red, white, and blue flag. Do all that kind of stuff and be the Washington DCs. Cherry tree, maybe the Potomac in the background. Do all sorts of cool airbrushed USA type logoing for the Washington DCs. That's all I got. All right, that's Lower Wacker Live for today, which is September 18, 2019, Beats by West Restless. And we will talk tomorrow. See you.